relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First, and we are delighted to welcome our very special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, everybody, welcome back to this America First with Sebastian Gorka. As you can tell, Sebastian's not here. I am here, and also I am in Washington, D.C. I am at the command center. The desk is here. I am sitting behind it. My voice probably will not go that low, but we're glad to have you on board today. Have we got a 3 hours packed today? We got a lot of stuff coming up, and want you to be a part of that. I cannot imagine right now, if you're watching on Rumble, you're watching, the left is literally losing their mind. They're losing their mind over so many issues. We're going to dig into it. We're going to dig into it deep today. Want to start off, we're going to have, just let you know who's coming up. We got Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones from Georgia. Burt's going to be talking about the Fannie Willis issue, the immigration issue, elections in Georgia. Seb and I are going to be able to talk, and by the way, he sends his regards from Tampa, where he is down at a cigar event. I would love to know a cigar event here is, Seb, but, you know, our mediums are good for me, so if you're coming back, just let you know about that. But Seb will be with us here in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to discuss his blockbuster interview yesterday with former President Donald Trump and the issues that that has now caused, and again, how this is spinning out of control on the left, and we're going to talk about that more. Tom Homan's going to be with us. Tom, love Tom. We're going to talk this immigration issue. We're going to talk about how it's moved from Texas over into Arizona and other places. And then at the end, and sticking with us, especially on your drive, especially for those of you in the East, be driving home, Mike Berry. Used to be, he's with America First Policy Institute now in the legal counsel. He used to be with First Liberty. Those are the folks who did all the prayer cases and all the vaccine cases, many of the things for our basically our constitutional rights. Mike is going to be in, and we're going to dig into some of these cases that have been going on and some of the new stuff that I want us to look forward to as we go. But before we get started, before we get into any of that, I've got to start hitting some of the headlines. And it is getting so bad just down the street from where I'm sitting, the administration is panicking. Democrats are panicking. They came into the State of the Union speech. They hyped Joe Biden up as much as they could. I do not think the man could have had another cup of coffee or whatever vitamins they were giving him, because he was so hyped up at the State of the Union that he blew right through his introduction from Speaker Mike Johnson. He just got up there and started speaking. And if you read his speech, and I had a copy of it, and I was going over it that night, the not just the 89 exclamation points, but everything was written in one sentence lines, so he couldn't screw it up. Remember, folks, I gotta remind you, if you're listening out there and you want to get involved today, I would love to have you on. Just, you may have to stick with us, but 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Call me today. We'll be happy to talk about this. But that State of the Union was the kickoff of what they had hoped for, a rejuvenation of a very lackluster, dying Biden-Harris ticket going into 2024. And they didn't get the bump. I mean, that night, the liberal press did everything they possibly could to hype this up. Oh, he was forceful. He popped back. Well, he did screw up Lincoln Riley's name, which, you know, was, he said Lincoln Riley. And if you're a college football fanatic like I am and you watch that, Lincoln Riley is the coach of USC Trojans. You know, maybe they've got problems out there, but the poor man's still alive. Lincoln is dead, and he screwed it up in the State of the Union trying to be cute when they were talking about saying her name. This is the problem that we have with the left. They just try to blow over issues and never get into it. But I want to hit a couple of things. First off, though, we're getting ready. I want to do cut one. Listen to MSNBC. Like I said, I'm not sure how long MSNBC can keep reporters going without making money. But Jen Psaki is a prime example of it. Hit Jen.
And of course, this is much bigger than one unhinged rally. Donald Trump has been professing political violence for years. In 2017, remember that, when white nationalists descended on Charlottesville in a deadly rally, and Trump said there were very fine people on both sides? In 2020, Trump approached his defense secretary, Mark Esper, about shooting people protesting the death of George Floyd, asking, can't you just shoot them? Just shoot them in the legs or something. Over the past few months, Trump has warned of bedlam in the country and potential death and destruction if his criminal charges derail his presidential campaign. And of course, in 2021, Trump convinced his supporters that the election was stolen from him. He awarded any of their remaining faith in our institutions.
I mean, there's so much there just to deconstruct. I just wanted you to start this show today. I just wanted to take a moment back and look at how much the left is just really losing it over the fact that Joe Biden's election is not going the way they want, and that Donald Trump is doing exactly what Donald Trump does. He goes out, he talks clarity, he gives it straight to the people, and they try to twist his words. And we'll take from this bloodbath comment, which has been all over the news this weekend, from the speech that he gave in Ohio, in which he actually was talking about a legitimate issue. Now, this is something that you've got to understand here. You on this show, listening to America First, you listen to Seb Gore because you want the straight facts. That's why I'm sitting here at the big desk, and we're going to talk about it. When he goes in, when Donald Trump gives a speech, and he goes in and he not only tells stories, but he also tells the state of this country in ways that people respond to. They are not responding to the classic 35, 45-minute pablum that comes out of most campaigns. He actually just gets up there. He tells stories. He laughs. He then gets to his message. You can tell sort of in between his written speech and his unprepared speech. And that's just what he feels. That's why people are drawn to him. And he was talking about something that has been near and dear to him for a long time, and that is manufacturing in this country. That is the auto industry in this country. This is a building industry in this country. This is a developer who became president. So we got to lay this out in some different ways. But when he got to it, he was talking about basically the Biden administration's horrific job at really going after two things that you need to be concerned about. The first one is this: they've gone after from day one the energy independence of this country. They have attacked the oil industry, the natural gas industry. They have closed off land. They've made it harder to drill. Then they went begging to Russia, Venezuela, and Iran to get us more oil because they have this underlying assumption that somehow America is not doing its part in the climate change effort. And we've seen that for their whole administration here. But they're just losing their minds. Jen Psaki's losing her mind about this bloodbath comment. But let me just talk about this bloodbath comment when it deals with, in context, with the auto industry. And when he talks about the auto industry right now is suffering. Anybody can look at it. From last year's strike issue, when you had the UAW going after the automakers and forcing up costs, in which they told them that their cost was going to go exponentially up over those coming from overseas. The auto workers didn't care. They went ahead and got this. They crippled the industry for a while. They got their deal. And it's going to not pay off in the long term because they're very much taking away from how the automakers can stay viable. the wages and stuff need to be fair, and this is what Donald Trump speaks to all the time, but the jobs have got to stay here. They can't be short-term. But when you've got an administration, and you've got administrations like in California that are trying to mandate EV use, and I've said it before on my podcast. By the way, many of you listen to the Doug Collins podcast. I'm glad you do. You can follow me at @RepDougCollins on Twitter, and I talk about these things because when you look at what this administration has done, they have taken the very heart of American manufacturing, our energy independence, which we were gained under Donald Trump, and they have thrown it away. My wife and I have, my wife just got a, we had a hybrid vehicle for a number of years. I wanted a hybrid vehicle. It wasn't because any of the green community told me to. It wasn't because I had this, you know, affinity for what, you know, for some social movement. It was because I liked the car and we got good gas mileage out of it. That's what we did. My wife now doesn't go to school. She was a teacher for 30-something years. She doesn't have to commute every day. So we were looking for a new car for her, and we had talked to some people who had a plug-in hybrid. So we bought a plug-in hybrid. She can now do her tootling around Gainesville, Georgia, and never really – we buy less than a tank of gas a month on that one little car. Now, it wasn't because government said, Doug, you need to go do this. It wasn't because we were told to go do this. It was because we made a choice. But when you go at an industry and you tell them they got to forcibly move to EV, they got to forcibly move from the internal combustion engines, then you see things like Rivian in my home state, which was going to build a big facility, has now put that on hold. You see the Hertz CEO he got ousted from Hertz Corporation because of an EV bust. These are the kind of things that really, really make it bad. This is the kind of things that causes people to lose their job. These are the kind of things that Donald Trump was talking about. So as we're going to get into it today, look, this is just the first example of what we got many things to come. We're going to get started here. Glad to have you with us. Come right back. We'll be ready to go.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back here going at it hard. I told you we got a big show today, and we're going to jump right into it as we come back in off a break. I'm going to get back. Look, don't worry. Brent, we're going to get to you here in a little bit. Just hang on there for a minute. We've got some we're going to talk more about what the Democrats are doing and how they're reacting to the fact that Joe Biden is sinking greatly. So we're going to get back to that in a minute. But right now, I want to welcome on a friend to the show. If you're in Georgia, you know this man very well. If you're nationally, you're getting to know him, and you're going to probably hear from him a little bit more, especially with the issues dealing with what we're seeing in the elections and the election, you know, cases, interference cases, and the lawfare that's going on in Georgia with Fani Willis and the Fulton County case against Trump and many others. And I'd like to welcome to the show the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Georgia, Bert Jones. Bert, how are you?
Hey, Doug. Good to be with you, and always good to hear from you. And it's great seeing you in Rome, Georgia, a couple weeks ago for the Trump event.
Well, we had a good time out there. It's amazing to me. You had 3,500 people, 4,000 almost inside. You had a number of people outside, and Joe Biden couldn't draw flies in Atlanta. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But I will say this, and I say it all the time: Republicans, don't use crowd size. You got to get out and vote. You got to do everything possible. If we're gonna win this, we got to get out and vote.
No question.
But I want to hit. Let's jump right into this, because there's a lot of discussion going on with Fani Willis and the really what I thought was a not a good decision last week. But a lot of things been coming on nationally, and this from a national perspective. Everybody's coming in and saying, well, there's this Senate investigation going on. You got a bar complaint probably coming up. Which, by the way, frankly, if you're listening out there, the bar complaint is a lower standard of evidence. So I think she's in deep trouble in the bar complaint if that ever gets done. But y'all did something in the Senate that I think needs to be observed, because really you hadn't seen that much action from the governor and no action from the attorney general in Georgia in dealing with any of this or looking into it. What did y'all do, and what does it do?
All right. And I appreciate you asking that, because there are a lot of questions around it. So right now we did two things, obviously, and this had to do more with following the money, following the tax dollar money mostly. And that was what we did. We set up a Senate committee, mostly of our lawyer legislators here and in the Senate, that has subpoena power. And with that subpoena power, they are going to. We had Ashley Merchant, who was the lawyer who was so vocal against Nathan Wade and Fani Willis during the regular Fulton County trial. But we had her, subpoenaed her, and she came and testified and gave us all kinds of information and a blueprint, really, into how potentially state dollars, public funds were misappropriated between Willis and Wade and other outfits. So what our committee is doing, we're gonna investigate those leads that have been brought forward by the existing case. We're going to subpoena a number of people, probably including D.A. Willis as well, and we're going to get them under oath and question them. And we're basically going to lay the groundwork to, number one, recommend to the Attorney General of our state what we think he should do. And also, we have a prosecutor oversight committee that was just signed into law that is for DAs who are not appropriately doing their jobs or their duties as elected officials. And we're going to do the legwork, investigative work on that as well, and hand it off to that committee as well, which does have the authority to remove a DA from office if he or she is found not to be acting in good faith under their oath of office.
So there are, and I think this is the thing that I want people to understand, there are ways that, again, you're not going, you can't flaunt the law in many ways, what people feel like. And again, everything is presumed innocent. This is where Republicans and where America First folks are different. We actually presume you to be innocent, but if you do things and you get caught, that's the whole reason for our legal system. We've so screwed that up over the years. But this is a process in which you gather information, gather evidence, and you're going where the evidence leads. With this, from the Attorney General can actually use this to bring, if felt like it, could bring either criminal referrals, signal his own grand jury, do those kind of things if he sees. Because there was a lot of things she mentioned, and I think Marchant's actually brought this out, about how the funds were used, and then, you know, some comments that, frankly, just Fani Willis made, possibly off the cuff, that could have led her into trouble on disclosures and where she got the cash. When my last campaign ended, I just took the cash. Well, you and I both been in elected office for a long time. You can't just take the cash.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And you know, the judge in his ruling even alluded to that fact that, you know, he wasn't sure about the response to the cash payments that were referred to during the court. And so I think that's very key that, you know, he didn't say it outright, but he alludes to the fact that they didn't sound very believable, you know, in what they were saying. And so he gave her an out. As a lot of judges do, said you either be disqualified or you got to get rid of Nathan Wade and you can continue on. And a lot of people disappointed by that. I think she has really damaged herself. Her credibility has been damaged, and I do think that case is unraveling. Right upon our eyes, but you know, like I said, we're going to continue to focus on the public funds that were misused or potentially misused, and we're going to make a recommendation to our Attorney General, and we're going to make a recommendation to the Prosecutor Oversight. Those are two venues that have the jurisdiction to hold people accountable who are not doing their duties and also not following the law.
Yep. Well, I think one last question, a short question on this, and I want to switch to what the presidential race and immigration in Georgia is going to be like. Will this information also be available? So, I've heard that there may be a bar complaint out of this, which is could be also as devastating as an AG and these others. So, all this information will be available to any organization looking into this case, correct?
We'll be streaming everything live. Every committee hearing, everything that we will have going on in the state senate will be open to the public and stream, you know, live and able to access easily. So those things are happening, and we will, as you well know, Doug, and a lot of people, your listeners probably don't know around the country, we're in our final days of legislative session right now, which is a very busy time for us from that point of view. But as soon as we get that behind. Next Thursday is our last day. That committee will be refocused on Fonnie Willis and what's going on in Fulton County. So.
All right. Real quickly, I want to turn to something right quick, because Georgia provided a face for the illegal immigration problem in a very unfortunate and very tragic way just a few weeks ago with Lake and Riley up in Athens. Not dealing with that, a lot's been said about that, and the president has completely screwed that up, actually apologizing to the guy who actually was accused of murder here. But how do you see that affecting Georgia? Everybody seems to want to say Georgia's going to be this swing state. I personally believe it's a close state. It always is a close state, but I think still Trump is favored in Georgia. Do you think this face of immigration is now going to help not only in Georgia but across the country before we get out of here?
I agree with you that I think Trump is going to win in Georgia this time around. I do think that what the unfortunate situation that happened with the UGA student Lake and Riley, I think with it being illegal in the brutally way that she was murdered, I think has really brought this to the forefront. It has been a powder keg that has been brewing for quite some time now, and that incident has really awakened a lot of people and upset a lot of people, because what's going on at the border is ridiculous, and it's a ripple effect that's happening all over the country.
That is Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones of the great state of Georgia. Watch for that name. You're going to hear it, especially the folks in Georgia, especially with this fight that we're having right now to continue to make Georgia great. Burt, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Doug, always good to hear from you and good to be with you. Thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back, folks, here on 7th Corps of America First.
How do you feel? I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month from hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and vegetables over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them on 800-2468-751 and use discount code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back at it. Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka. Glad to have you with us. If you hear me other time in the Salem faculty, I have a podcast called The Clock, Doug Collins Podcast, author of The Clock and the Calendar, talking about the first sham impeachment of Donald Trump. Also follow me on Rep. Doug Collins on Twitter. 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752 to be a part of the show. But right now, I've been talking about this, and we've got Sebastian is now with us. Gorka is with us. And Sebastian, you had an amazing interview with Donald Trump, but the left, I've been talking about the whole first hour, the left went nuts, and they're going nuts over a lot of things. Let's do this. Let's play this clip, and then let's you and I get into it.
Why is it seemingly that this administration, including Chuck Schumer in the Senate, hate the man that Israel chose as their prime minister? Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate him. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel. And the Democrat Party, if you remember, when many Israeli representatives, including Netanyahu, when they came to the country trying, begging, at that time President Obama, please don't make the Iran nuclear deal, which is a disaster and was a disaster. And I ended it. But unfortunately, they didn't do anything with the ending of it. I ended it and would have had a new deal made with Iran. It would have been good for everybody, and there would have been no nuclear weapons. You know, they're very close to getting a nuclear weapon right now.
Yes.
And once they have that, it becomes a different form of negotiation, a much more difficult negotiation. But I really believe they hate Israel, and they also see a lot of votes. Don't forget, when you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that. And to him, it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel now. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel. And they should be ashamed of themselves, because Israel will be destroyed.
Well, Sebastian, I think the one thing you can never say about Donald Trump, he's not going to not say what he's thinking. What's your thought about this? Because, again, the Democrats in this situation are reacting to his comments, and they're trying to say, equivocate it in many ways. What's your thoughts?
Well, look, this is the next iteration of the bloodbath comments from the weekend. And the reaction of our interview with the president for an hour, if you haven't seen it, go to my Rumble feed, go to my Twitter feed. We posted the whole hour, not just that little clip. I mean, I woke up this morning, Doug, and there were articles, not only in the lunatic, Politico, but the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Daily Mail of the UK. And you know what the most disgusting thing of all was? They called this a slur on the Jews, part of the old dual loyalty smear. Now, what is the dual loyalty smear? The dual loyalty smear is the old argument, it's a racist one, that Jews in America can't be loyal to America because they're going to be loyal to Israel. Hang on a second, what did President Trump say? He actually said the opposite of the dual loyalty smear. He said, if you're an American Jew and you vote Democrat, you hate Israel, which is a statement of fact. You're not loyal in any way, shape, or form to Israel. Why? Well, let's look at the recent news, Doug. Yep. What did Chuck Schumer say just a few days ago?
Yeah,
he said...
I'm sorry, Sebastian. Go ahead, Chuck Schumer. Because think about this. The sway of Mike Johnson went to the well of the House and said something like this, or Doug Collins, when I was in the House, I said something like this about another country's elections. Hit on that, because you're heading there, but I had to put that in perspective.
So I'm just going to mention three things. We could spend the next, and God bless you for sitting at the big desk today. You could spend the whole 3 hours on the anti-Semitism institutionally of the Democrat Party. Let's just talk about the latest outrage. The most senior Democrat on Capitol Hill says the Israelis have to get rid of the prime minister they chose. Forget about election interference. Who the hell is Chuck Schumer to say that the people, the Jews of Israel, aren't allowed to pick their own leader, number one? Number two, what about the fact that the most senior Democrat in America, you know, the what is it Dan Bongino calls him? The rotting bag of oatmeal in the White House. Joe Biden has sent billions of dollars to Iran. What does Iran say every Friday? That they have to destroy Israel, the little Satan, before they destroy the big Satan, which is us. So, A, they're not allowed to pick their own prime minister. B, Biden's giving billions of dollars to the regime that wants to literally wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And then let's talk about the House. Let's do the triumvirate, the White House, the Senate. Let's talk about the House. Let's talk about the Squad. What do we know about the institutional anti-Semitism of the Squad? Shall I go through the list of all the tweets from Ilhan Omar talking about the Jews of America and it's all about the Benjamins? Shall we talk about how AOC is a proud supporter of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanction movement, which is modern anti-Semitism, but she's a proud supporter of BDS. So the fact is everything the president said in that clip is true. If you're a Democrat and a Jew and you vote for the Democrat Party, you gotta hate Israel. And by the way, what's really interesting about the voting figures, the secular Jews of America vote Democrat, an inordinate proportion. What about the Orthodox Jews who love Israel? Depending on district, it's upwards of 93% vote for President Trump. I wonder why that is, Doug. Is it because they actually love Israel as well as America?
Yep. Well, I think you're hitting it up. And it goes into the next one is you did even we could go on the Squad all day, but you got Tlaib, who is basically, and one of the things that bothered me, and I would love to get your, because we're discussing this, and let's just be honest, let's put it all out there on the table. If they don't like what Donald Trump said, then I have a problem with members of Congress wearing the scars of the palace of the Hamas on the floor of the House for the State of the Union. I have a problem with Rashida Tlaib on every occasion she can, basically making this that the Palestinian Hamas are one and the same, and that it is Israel that is dominating and has no right to respond October 7th. But then we go back to the other one, the big one that you've talked about. And I am so proud that I voted against this bill. I talked about this bill, even when we had some Israelis, you know, and organizations who were saying, this is the best we can do, let's go for it. I said, no, it's going to turn into disaster. And I said, Iran deal. How can they, Sebastian, hold these two things in their hand? It's just as amazing to me, and the press lets them get away with it.
Well, because the press isn't the press. They're just literally lapdogs. I'm about to finish an article for my Substack where I talk about what the press did, whether it's the bloodbath comments, whether it's the president's interview. Let's be clear. Rashida Tlaib has said she represents the people of Palestine. Can we talk about dual loyalties? On the map in her congressional office, she has a post-it note covering Israel, you know, negating the existence of Israel, where she's handwritten the words Palestine on it. If that weren't enough, let's talk about real dual loyalties. That fascinating clip from Ilhan Omar that was released just 2 weeks ago, where she's talking to a Somali audience in her native tongue. And she says what? She actually says, I'm here to realize the interests of Somalia in the Congress. Excuse me? Shall we talk about real dual loyalties? As for the last point, look, there's no higher honor, I think, than an immigrant getting to work in the White House like I did. Blows my mind. Yeah. But of all of the things I did in the White House for President Trump, the thing I'm the most proud of is the day he called me and Bannon into the Oval. The rest of the cabinet are there who are pro-Obama, JCPOA, pro-Iran deal, say, you can't upset our European allies. And Steve and I did our pitch, and we told the president, this is why it's bad for Israel. This is why it's bad for America. This is why it'll lead to nuclear war triggered by the mullahs. And what did President Trump do? He killed Obama's JCPOA Iran deal. That was my proudest moment in my time in the White House. And they're now reversing it and giving billions to Iran. Doug, why would you fund Iran unless you hate Israel and hate America?
Well, you've hit it perfectly there. And then the question is, it's just, again, what you say and what you do. And unfortunately, the political class in D.C. and in other places as well, it's follow what I'm saying, don't follow what I'm doing. Follow what I'm saying, that we're all supportive of Israel, that we're all supportive of doing this. And look, to at least an extent up until now, until the last 30 days, and this is a political question that is interesting. Up until about 25 days ago, the Biden administration was holding pretty firm. Joe Biden was holding pretty firm with Israel. They were doing the stuff that, you know, you would expect them to do. They were pushing back against this extremism. But yet, when Michigan hit in the primary, when you had the other stuff started coming out, we're starting to see the political Biden in this. And I think that's going to be it. You're going to be with us here for just a few more minutes. Let's pick that up when we get back, because I think this is something that right now, people, you've got to be aware of. Joe Biden, and I said this in the last hour on that quote from that Twitter, said that they're more concerned about Muslim votes in Michigan than they are auto workers in Michigan. That's a huge issue that they're going to have to deal with, and they're going to jump through every hoop to convince you of what they want. So we're going to be right back. Sebastian Gorka's with us right here on Sebastian Gorka America First. Glad you're with us.
Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back, and Sebastian's with me here on America First. Glad to have it. You know, it is amazing to me, Sebastian, before we get back into the Israel-Ukraine, it is amazing to me.
That's amazing to me how you manage in a three-minute break to get all the belly dancers and the fire eaters out of the studio so quickly. That's really impressive.
You got an impressive staff. That's all I got to say. Everything is there. Before we get back into the duality of this Israel and this administration, how they're dealing with certain areas of the world, isn't it amazing to me with all this going on? And somebody was talking about this in the first hour. We said, you know, because Harris cannot be put into the top slot. Biden has got to be there. And last week, Harris's two big things were she toured an abortion clinic. And number two, she had a sit down about marijuana and with Fat Joe and others. Just to show you how off this administration is. But back to the real thing. You and I talked about this a little bit off the break. I've never seen this, and it's such a. It seems like the White House doesn't get it. You have Ukraine, in which they say nothing to. They just want to pump money into it, and then they claim the fact that there's no resolution. But then in Israel, we will give you money, but Bibi, you can't use it here. In fact, the big story today is they're calling Israel over to they don't want them to attack Rafah. And because there's millions of Palestinians there that could get in trouble, not mentioning the ones that are there. But they put limits, and every time it come out, they kept saying, Israel, make sure you're nice. Make sure you limit civilian casualties. You never hear that about Ukraine. And you brought a great point. I've never heard Ukraine ceasefire come out of this administration's mouth, and I've heard it all the time about Israel.
Isn't that weird that we have these demands upon Israel that has to actually secure its safety and rescue its hostages? Well, you don't have ceasefires. Wait, there's a man who just celebrated, I think it was his 82nd birthday as a hostage. Sorry, no ceasefires. No. Israel gets to rescue their hostages. But there's no demands on a Ukrainian ceasefire. That's weird. Not to mention just the insanity. Can we stop for a second and talk about the fact They want to make a pier for the aid going into Gaza. Gaza is sovereign Israeli territory. Have we got Israel's permission to deploy our military? You've served in our military for decades, Doug. And the idea, this cretin, this two-star Air Force general, that the Pentagon press spokesman, Patrick Ryan, who says, well, I hope Hamas won't fire on our sailors as we're building the pier. Because that works. You know, when people who literally beheaded innocent people, killed children, raped women after they killed them, they're not going to fire on U.S. personnel. And if they do, Doug, do we trust Joe Biden to manage a shooting war in the Middle East when our sailors, our soldiers, our Marines are getting shot at? Is that the person you want in charge? I wouldn't let that guy walk my dogs.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah. Look, over 200 plus and climbing every day, attacks on military personnel in the Middle East since October 7th. We've responded, I'm going to be generous, and I think three times. And we've sent word that we're going to do it. There's little casualties involved in it. This is that, quote, proportional response from the Aaron Sorkin world of West Wing. You know, this is, you know, would somebody please tell me what a proportional response is? No, it's not that. And explain to me why they're worried about who, you know, if they think Hamas won't fire on them. By the way, and I agree with you completely, we're invading a sovereign country by doing this. We can't do that. And there's no way we can put them in harm's way. There's been a lot of talk on the Hill about that today. But the Houthis, I don't think they got the message, Sebastian, because they keep firing on everybody out there. I mean, they're like Oprah Winfrey. I'm going to fire on you. I'm going to fire on you. I'm going to fire on you. I mean, this administration does not have a grip on a foreign policy. Here's a question. Foreign policy rarely plays into a presidential election. If you talk about a lot of the issues, it's always inflation, it's always economy, it's always, but it does play at times. We saw it in 1980, we saw it in 92, we've seen it in a couple of others. I think this is going to come back with Afghanistan, with now the Ukraine, with the Israel issue. This is going to be a place in which people are going to look at Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and it will become an issue because America's pride is at stake.
Look, we're different, right? You've served this nation in the cloth of the Republic. I'm a national security wonk and former strategist in the White House. So we love this stuff, and we kind of default to the national security setting. On the whole, it is pocketbooks, however. It's what's the famous phrase? It's the economy, stupid. Yep. But again, when you walk into that polling station on November 5th, people are going to have to make, you know, they're going to have to think about, you know, the price of bread and the price of milk, but they're also going to have to make a decision. Who do I want as the commander-in-chief? And that's the easiest question to answer. Do you want a guy who rebuilt our military, who made our enemies afraid and then reassured our allies, who got NATO freeloaders to actually pay their way? Or do you want a guy who surrendered Afghanistan, brought us war in Ukraine, brought us war in the Middle East? I may be biased, Doug, but I think when people pull that lever or fill in that little circle on the ballot, they're going to be thinking, you know what? I don't want a world war, and I want Donald Trump back. I think that's going to be part of the calculation.
I think so. And also, I'm going to just send out a little word to some of my former colleagues, because when you mentioned Donald Trump having to rebuild the military, I was in Congress in 2015, you know, from 2013 to 2017 when he came in, and we had F-18 squadrons that could not fly because they couldn't get parts. We had, you know, accidents happening all the time. And let me just send a word back to Congress. Don't keep falling for these gimmicky kind of, and again, some people may disagree, but that's fine. These 1% across the board, when you think that works, it kills our defense. You're not influencing these programs you hate. You're actually cutting back in defense, and we've got to be aware of that as we go forward. Sebastian, I think you've hit it on the head that we've got to look at this whole Israel situation, Ukraine situation, as we look at it going forward. But then bring it back home real quick, because I'd love to have this just happened in the last little bit. Supreme Court has now said Texas can enforce immigration law in Texas while this is going through the courts. Mixed opinion there going on. Get your opinion on that real quick.
That's why we're a republic of states, right? At the end of the day, states have a responsibility to the citizens in their state. So this idea that you can't secure the citizens of a state, which, by the way, you know, it's weird an immigrant telling fellow Americans, Texas was a country, okay? It actually was a country for a time being before it came into the fold as part of the Republic. So it's a big part of America. They should get to do what is required when the feds can't do it. On your prior point, let me just say, before I joined the Trump administration, I spent 2.5 years at Quantico. I was teaching there, the Marine Corps. When I had students offline, 05s, 06s, tell me they were having to cannibalize helicopters, literally dismantle helicopters, so they had spare parts to make the other ones airworthy. That's a crisis, right? Yep. That's what we had under Obama, and it's even worse today.
Yeah, it's going that way. And again, I'm seeing it all the time because you've had an administration for the last 3 years that's more concerned about social manipulation in our military than it has anything. We could go on forever about that. Well, before I let you go, though, you know, I think you're going to go on to you down there in Tampa, hobnobbing with the cigar folks. You know, we're okay up here, Sebastian. We love you, man. We appreciate it. You just take care of Tampa for us today, okay?
I'm hobnobbing with the listeners, and I'm right off. I'm going right now to get you some cigars, Doug. So don't complain, okay? I will be
different
cigars.
We got it. All right, Sebastian, it's great to be with you as always. Folks, we still got it. Going in an hour and a half into this thing, almost halfway done. We got your calls, 833-33-GORKA. You call us, we'll be ready. See you in just a minute.
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number 864-644-1900. myphdweightloss.com.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
Oh, my. For those of you who get to hear the bumper music, Alec, I mean, killing it, brother. I mean, you're bringing in some 80s sync here. I'm feeling the vibe today, folks. It's good to have you with us. Doug Collins, I'm filling in for Sebastian Gorka today on America First, Coast to Coast, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. And I want to put out a special shout-out. If you're listening in Ohio, Illinois, Florida, anywhere where they're doing primaries today, give us a call. We'd love to hear what's going on there. Georgia, of course, my home state. Love to have you be on as well. Tom, we've got some technical difficulties with Tom. We'll hopefully get Tom here on the show here pretty quick. But I want to lead back into this sort of the pervasive theme of the day is that the left is putting themselves in positions that are indefensible. So they're actually having to reach out and just illogically attack Republicans. Tom is on now. All right. Tom, it's Doug, how we doing?
Doing all right. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing okay, bud. It's good to hear from you. Glad to have you on. A lot of things going on. I've been talking about today about the Democrats' sort of irrational discussions about things that people don't care about, one of which is immigration, which everyone is caring about. And you and I haven't talked in a few weeks since the Lake and Riley incident down in Georgia, the rape in Virginia with an illegal. You saw a lot of things going on. But there's something building, and I'd love to get your take on this. We're going to talk about the Texas case in a second, but then I want to get the first off. This Haitian issue, which is building right now, and I think more people need to pay attention to this. Haiti has always been treated a little bit different. They're like Venezuela, Cuba, and these others under the Biden administration. Explain to the listener why this Haitian unrest and what's coming out of Haiti is so important to us here.
Haiti knows that our borders are open, and they know that all they got to do is get landside, and they're going to get to stay. You know, it's as soon as they touch a foot in Florida, and that's the plan. And my sources have told me that Coast Guards under orders just to make sure they don't drown, you know, make sure that they don't get, you know, capsized, that they're not to arrest or detain. However, under the Trump administration, you know, ICE has a facility right on Guantanamo Bay. We have a facility. We detain people, mostly Haitians and Cubans, and we keep them there until we repatriate them. So there is an option. Rather than bring them to the United States, we have a facility right there in Guantanamo Bay. We can house them. We built a facility there many years ago, and it's right there on the island. It's on the wayward side. So we have options, but I'm telling you right now, this administration is going to do what they can to bring them to the United States. And once you're here, I can guarantee you they're never going home.
Well, and that's, I think, the thing that's interesting, because really, you and I both agree that if you catch them, you know, out there, the Coast Guard catches them off in you know, off international waters, it's you send them back. I mean, you don't drown them, but you send them back, or you take them to Gitmo. You don't bring them to the United States, and yet we're continually opening the border and allowing these to come through. I think what concerns me, Tom, and I think you know, so see your sources are saying this, we're seeing what's coming out of Haiti right now. They've opened up, you know, prisons. We're seeing the gang element here. This is, to me, heightening what, you know, President Trump has said, but others have said. And we just saw on the border somebody who came across basically saying that they were Hezbollah, I believe it was, headed to New York with a bomb. I mean, what is it going to take to wake? I don't think the Biden administration can be woke up to this. They don't care. They're getting what they want. How is this something? What is one thing we can do to wake up the rest of America who may be inclined to vote for this administration again, to say you're killing your own, you know, environment here, neighborhoods, by letting an open border stay festering like this?
First of all, I think we need to be transparent and tell the American people how many convicted criminals the Border Patrol's arrested. Now, the Border Patrol, under Biden administration, I think there are near 100,000 convicted criminals that they have arrested. I think at one point it was over 130 people convicted of homicide. I mean, Border Patrol arrests thousands of criminals every year, and you know, President Trump was wrong. He says a lot of criminals coming across the Southwest border. Not everybody's a criminal, but many are. Right. And we see the results in inner city. I thought Lake and Riley would convince some people. But, you know, when I did a few shows on that, I said, look, one can hope it'll make a difference. But I says, we'll forget about that in a few weeks. I won't. But, you know, a lot of the public will forget about 2 weeks. And then we'll have another one. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. And it just one after another after another. So I think it's going to take. We already know terrorists have entered this country through this open border. There's no doubt in my mind. I think it's going to take a serious attack on the United States for us to become united like we were after 9/11 and take this stuff seriously. Look, Border Patrol's arrested people from 181 different countries. Many of these countries sponsor terror. They've arrested over 340 trying to sneak into the Southwest border since Biden's been in office. We got 1.9 million gotaways. How many of them are known suspected terrorists? So, you know, there's, if you think it's zero, then you're just a moron. That you can't think that not a single one of the 1.9 came from a country-sponsored terror. I think it's going to take an issue that big to wake up the left, who just seems to don't care about the open border.
Yeah, and I think that's the concern that for most of us who look at this and say that it's going to take something that we don't want to see. Something that's been coming up on Capitol Hill in the last few days, and it's an issue that's been up before. I'd love for you to give your straightforward explanation of it, because the administration, and they always try to play this as a family and kids, and we're just taking care of kids. But they've got a problem. They can't find literally hundreds of thousands of kids. They can't track them. Explain how that can happen in a system and why it doesn't seem to be getting more of attention.
Well, the young children, you know, you got to be at least 14 to be fingerprinted by state, you know, by the regulation. But, you know, under the Trump administration, we did DNA testing. And, right. You know, we did, and some of the, when we did a couple of the pilots on the Southwest border, like in El Paso, at one point we found almost a third of the families weren't even families. You know, the mother and father were claiming to be dad and mom, and they weren't. The DNA showed they weren't any relative. So, you know, we know children being trafficked. We know children being rented by the cartels to single males and single females to act as a family group because they know they won't be detained. And look, the court ruling just recently saying, you know, families can't be separated. So that's going to open the floodgates open to more trafficking of children, and cartels will, you know, rent these kids to, you know, adult males. But here's the problem. The vetting procedure is almost non-existent. Under the Trump administration, not only do you fully vet the sponsor, the person wanting the child, we vetted everybody in the household. So we made sure it wasn't a predator in the house or a gang member in the household. This administration, they're more concentrating on how quick can we release that child. Yeah. I mean, the secretary the other day, Becerra, says they're releasing children at record time.
Yep, Tom, you got it exactly right. That's why we come to you for the truth. Folks, we appreciate it. We'll be back in just a minute here on this America First. Doug Collins filling in for Seb Gorka.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back. The last half hour. You can't run out of gas now. Stick with me. 30 minutes left. Some of you are getting off going home. Some of you are in the last little bit of time. We got it going on. We've been a lot of calls today. A lot of great interaction. Y'all are great. Hit me up at Rep Doug Collins if you got some. We'd love to have you follow us on Twitter. The Doug Collins Podcast. You can go anywhere you get your podcast. Salem Broadcast. I'm with the Salem faculty, the Doug Collins Podcast. We go 3 days a week. Would love to have you be a part of that. And also just watch on many other things that we do. And also being here on Seb Gorka's show. So, got right now, get ready for these last couple of blocks. We're going to do a couple of minutes here with a good friend of mine, Mike Berry. Mike, I first got to know Mike when he was at a group called First Liberty. They have been at the forefront of civil liberties cases, especially for conservatives over the last several decades. Mike has been one of the best minds that coming out of that organization. He is now joined with me. I still work with AFPI in Georgia. We're starting the chapter down there, but AFPI is also still expanding its legal and litigation side. Mike has come on with us here with America First Policy Institute. We're glad he is there. Mike, welcome to the Sebastian Gorka America First Show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be on with you again, Doug.
Well, it's always fun, my friend. Hey, we're gonna just dive into this. We're gonna be two lawyers. We're gonna sort of explain this on real levels because I see a lot of problems in the country that are being litigated, and we have a lot of lawyers on the left and even some on the right who try to talk about things that get people mixed up. But one I can't pass up. We got to start here, buddy. I mean, I don't know how she made it through the vetting process for Supreme Court justice, and everybody forgot to ask her. Then we're talking about Justice Jackson, about, do you believe the Bill of Rights exist? Listen to this quote from just yesterday.
My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information.
Okay, let me put this in perspective for the folks out there listening, Mike, before we get into it. This was in a case called, it's Murthy versus Missouri. This is the Missouri-Louisiana case about going after the Biden administration and them taking down and forcing or coercing or persuasion, whichever way they wanted to firm it, for things like YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, these other Twitter and others, it taking down things about COVID and other related items during that time. This is scary stuff, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, this is Orwellian dystopian America. Welcome to 2024, where, as President Reagan, famously and presciently said, the most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Yeah. But that's exactly what's happening. Is you have the Biden administration, you've got state government officials basically telling Americans, no, trust us. We know what's best for you. And don't worry, we'll censor all the bad people that we don't think you need to be listening to or watching, so that we can protect you. And again, it's that whole, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
I was just, it turns our Constitution on its head. It's not what our founders intended. They intended for our country to be ruled by we, the people. The government is there to protect our rights, but the way to protect our rights is not by taking our rights away.
Yeah, real quick here, this is the part that really stuck out to me is that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect its citizens of the country. She's framing it in this way that doesn't sound bad, but yet at the same point, when you dig into what she just said, she said, as long as it's from us, we know better than you. And I think that's the problem, that you know, whoever's in power, what she's also saying is whoever's in power gets to determine what's right or wrong.
Yeah, and exactly. The question, I tell my kids this all the time. Anytime somebody tells you, makes some sort of truth assertion or a truth statement to you, you always have to ask, who gets to decide what truth is, right? And it's always the person who's in the position of power says, oh, I'll decide what's true and what's not true, and then I'll tell you what it is. And that's no way to run a country, at least not the way this country was intended to be founded. Our founders fled from countries that tried to do that, that tried to tell people, we will tell you, we the government will tell you what to believe, when to believe, and how to believe. And we're on the path towards that now, Doug.
Well, we are. And I think that's the part that we want to kick on. You're going to stick with us through the break. Mike Berry's coming back. We got some more to discuss here on this legal implication of a Supreme Court that undoubtedly is deciding that maybe they know better than us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back here on America First. Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian is down enjoying the listeners in Tampa at a cigar event down there. We're glad he is there, but we're even better glad that you're here with us on this 3 hours coming into the close here. But we got Mike Berry with us, and I want to jump back into this conversation, Mike, about really this case that is about censorship. And again, from a legal perspective, how can they not believe that a White House, any White House, and this is the part that bothers me, left only seems to believe it works in their favor. How could any White House send a email to a private organization and tell them, basically, we need you to take this down, or we'd like for you to take this down? They use the word like. But that's not persuasion, is it? Discuss this idea of persuasion and coercion, because I think that's what this court seems to be ignoring.
Well, you and I both have served in the military, Doug, so we both understand how powerful a position of authority can be, what we would call in legal terms the imprimatur of the United States. And so when somebody from the White House, even if they say, oh, this is just a suggestion, it's not an order, right? When we were in the military, if a general or even a colonel were to say to us, you know, it's not an order, it's just a suggestion, I mean, that's why you're laughing, right? You're like, okay, what's the old saying? It's officially voluntary, unofficially mandatory? That's what you call it. That's what this is, right? This is a classic example of, on paper, they're going to say, this is just, we're just suggesting that you censor these conservative viewpoints. And then again, it's always from this notion of like, oh, because we have such noble intentions, right? We only want what's best for everybody. And without ever considering for one second that there might be somebody who disagrees with them. And then if somebody does say, well, I actually disagree with your point of view, what do? They label them Christian nationalist, extremist, whatever, you know, you fill in the blanks. And so that's where this comes from, combined with, you know, if somebody gets an email or a phone call and the two line says it's from the White House, and they say, well, it's just a suggestion, who in their right mind is not going to take that, right, and say, oh, you know, I know where my federal funding comes from, right? I'm just going to tell the White House to go pound sand. Well, no, they're going to do exactly what the White House says or, quote, suggests, end quote.
Yep.
Because they want to continue to be in the good graces of their friends in the White House.
Well, and again, most of them are already political friends. And I think that's the concerning part here. And I'll take it a deep step deeper. I remember, there's a story out that just came out in the last little bit. Google 41 times in since 2008 have interfered in elections and can go as far as, taking a side with Obama and censoring support for Clinton, GOP allowing users to smear then-leading GOP candidate President Rick Santorum with a Google bomb. This was back in 2008. You got the 16, if you remember the famous quote, that we got to do better about this Trump issue, that they were going to do the algorithms to partner to get them over the line. This is the folks we're talking about. And what is amazing to me is there's never the discussion legally that from the right we would have. It's always a right, in my mind, or a conservative idea that's getting censored here. People need to wake up to this and understand that we've got to have a fair playing field here, because everybody used to think always the quote for Republicans is, oh, Trump's going to destroy the Constitution. Bush is going to destroy the Constitution. Republicans are going to destroy the Constitution, get us into war. And they never do any of it. It's always the liberal administrations that tend to go into these areas and call it right. What can the average person look at, and how can that reflect in their thinking, to get them back to an understanding that it's the First Amendment, which is what we're talking about here, which is so important, the very essence of her statement that you're restricting the government is exactly what the founders had in mind.
Yep, you hit it right on the head, Doug. I was just about to say that Justice Jackson's words, when I heard that, my first thought was the First Amendment restricting the government is – that's a feature, not a bug, right? That's exactly what the founders intended when they wrote those words, is that they wanted to ensure that we, the people, are the ones that control our government and have the power and have the say in how our country is going to be governed. And yet we've reached the point now where our friends on the far left seem to think, no. The government gets to dictate every aspect of our lives. And if you dare to speak up and say, well, wait a minute, I have a different point of view, then you're now a threat to democracy, as we're being told. And they want to censor us and shut us down. And to your point about, Google and Meta and, all these other, social and tech companies that can – I really wish one of these reports would come out just one time. Please show me that they were censoring the left and not the right, but it's never going to happen, right? The censorship only ever happens one way, and that's why far left is totally fine with it, because they know it just keeps delivering victory after victory after victory, whether it's at the ballot box or in the courts.
Yep. Well, and I think that's the thing, that you can't produce something that doesn't exist, Mike. I mean, that's the problem. You can't produce something that didn't exist, so they've not done this to the left. And then I think this is also why, from a legal perspective, they're screaming so much about Elon Musk at Twitter right now, because they had a platform all to themselves, and, there was at least brought back. And here's the sad part about it. It's even not brought back under Musk to a point to where it's fair. I mean, it's still, in many ways focused on the wrong side. Right now, America First Policy Institute, Center for Litigation, you're going to be a part of. And I know one of the things, real quickly, we've got about a minute left here. Focus on what folks need to know about how we can make sure from a legal perspective that we're making their voices heard.
Well, we need people to stand up, right, and have the courage to be willing to fight back just as everyday citizens. Because, as a law firm, as a public interest law firm, I knew this at First Liberty and I do it now at AFPI, we can't bring cases into court unless we actually have a client who's willing to have the courage to say, what's happened to me is wrong, my rights have been infringed, and I want to do something about it. Because too often, going back to the whole point we were just making, is they get silenced. They get chilled into silence.
They just get run out there, and I think that's what we've seen. Mike, I am so happy again to be, on a formal basis, be working with you again. We've been informally working for many years together. One of the best minds out there, folks. Looking forward to seeing more from Mike Berry. We got one more segment left. Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka on America First. We'll be back in a minute.
listening to America First with special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back. Look, I'm gonna probably use the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds to probably just lose it for a minute. And because I just saw some stuff that came across on the information wire and Twitter and some others. And this is something I've talked about for a while. And we talked about earlier in the show about this issue with the Biden administration and the absolute abject failure they are in foreign policy. This is a man who said, elect me and the adults will be back in charge. If this is what the adults do, they get Americans killed and get our standing in the world going to the south of anybody else in the world, where we just capitulate to whatever else the world seems to want to do, then I don't want it. I don't want adults in the room. I want people with backbone in the room. I want a commander-in-chief that seemingly knows where he's at and seemingly knows that we have a military that is not there for social experimentation, but it is there to actually fight and win our wars. Period. That's all they're for. Our military is not for anything else. It's not to be shiny and new. It is to fight and win our wars and protect our sovereignty as a country. And yet, this administration has gotten our troops killed in Afghanistan. They turn back over a country that in which multiple lives, wounds, and disfigurements and deaths occurred while we were in Afghanistan for almost 20 years. And they let it go back to the Taliban, who run it in the 1990s at the end and gave safe haven to bin Laden and to plan the attacks on our World Trade Center and this country. And now it is worse than it was in 1999, or right out, let's put it this way, September 10th, 2001, the Taliban is stronger than they were on that day. Because we left equipment, we ran, we cut and run, we took allies and left them there, people who had helped us. And as someone who served in Iraq, who we had folks from Iraq, Iraqi citizens who would help us, who would actually be a part of trying to help bring stability to that country, and you to leave them there, it's just unthinkable. Milley today, General Milley, was back on Capitol Hill talking about the Afghan situation, and he said, yes, Afghan allies have been brutally murdered by the Taliban. He said, I think some of the Afghans were tracked down that worked with us, and I think some of them were killed. I'm pretty certain some of them were killed in pretty brutal ways. Thank you, Biden administration. If you don't have any other reason to go out and vote for Donald Trump in November, remember the lives that were sacrificed in Afghanistan. Remember our standing in the world where people like Xi and Putin and others don't care about us anymore. They don't think we're a threat anymore. They do not believe that we're the country that has been the brightest shining star in this world for the last 250 plus years. We have fought the battles that have kept this world free, and we have an administration who would rather sit around and ignore it and play people who have no invested interest in making anything better except tearing it down. Folks, I love being on this show. I'm so pleased to be sitting in for Sebastian Gorka today. Sebastian will be back. He's been in Tampa. You can follow me on the Doug Collins podcast or follow me at Rep Doug Collins on Twitter. Look forward to seeing you again soon, but go out, make it a great night, tell somebody you love them, and make sure that you put this country first.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.